chain of event, or we say chain of infection, or any other term, okay? And we say the things or the requests for perpetuation. You remember perpetuation, we said it means continuity of the disease. Of course, always we are talking about the community, not the person, okay? Alone. For the perpetuation or continuity of disease in the community, so many things. Of course, a pathogenic organism, definitely. And then presence of reservoir, definitely, okay, to stay in and also to get out of this inhibited. So, outlet, oh, then to find a mode of proper mode of transmission or a mode of transmission, and then inlet in order to go inside the susceptible host. We already mentioned all these, some of these, and we started with the mode of transmission, and we say, we said that the mode of transmission could be direct or indirect, definitely, you know. And we said, ممكن نسكت؟ أرجوكم. تسكت؟ Okay. We said that in the direct, there is either direct contact, okay, or there is a droplet infection. I remember I told you should differentiate it from the droplet nuclei, and also inoculation to the skin and transplacenta from the mother to the baby, or we call it vertical transmission. And also we started already with the indirect transmission. We said the main difference, there is a lot of difference, but the main difference between the direct and indirect, that in the direct, there is no third object. While indirect, there is a third object between me and you. I am the diseased and you are the susceptible. So, ma'ahtirabi, okay? Okay, so there is... Okay, so indirect, there is a third object between the host, susceptible host, and the infected person or reservoir, it doesn't matter. Okay. Also, we started with the vehicle. I am sure that you know what's vehicle. This is the indirect transmission. It's essential requirement. But there is essential requirement. Of course, I am sure that this one already mentioned it in last time. The essential requirement in the indirect, in addition to the third object, the pathogenic organism should keep, okay, the infectious agent must capable to survive outside the body for a period of time. Not only survive, but it should have retained its pathogenicity and virulence. إذا pathogenicity والvirulence مالتها تروح لما هي برا it is useless. Okay? من there is one thing. So this is the essential in addition to the third objective. Okay? So it should retain يعني تحافظ for its pathogenicity and virulence during a time period until it finds the susceptible person, definitely. Okay? Of course, this is depend on so many things, okay? Depend on the characteristic of the pathogen. You remember we said certain pathogen will be viable for a long period on the surface, or some of them 2 weeks, some of them hours, some of them 1 week, and so on. So it depends on the pathogenic organism by itself, okay? And also it depends on the inanimate object. I am sure that I mentioned it in the previous lecture. I said some pathogen in the water, Okay? It is not the same when it is in the milk or in the blood. So this is the inanimate object, and also the influence of environment, of course. It affects the viability of the pathogen of the organism or the virulent of the organism. All these will affect it, and also if there is a disease, if there is resistance, this is best example, you remember we said, in TB, because of the resistance of the TB bacilli to many, many antibiotics, so it will stay all over the world. So indirect transmission can occur, you remember, in a variety of ways. We already mentioned that. Okay. We say it is either vehicle, vector, droplet, nuclei, dust, and so on. Let us go one by one. Vehicle transmission by SM, or vehicle-borne disease, it implies transmission of the infectious agent through agency of water, food, or any other things, or blood, serum, or even the organ. Okay? Organ transplantation make some transmission of disease, a lot of disease. Water and food make the most prominent one, particularly for gastrointestinal. Infectious agent may have multiplied or may develop inside this inanimate, either multiply, it may increase in number, or it may just complete its cycle inside this inanimate or inside this vehicle, and before it's transmitted. So, or it may be just passive, just as is, without any changing in neither in the number nor in the development, so as is. Of course, this is transmitted by water and by water and food. You know, it is mostly gastrointestinal disease, this is elementary disease. By blood, there is a lot of disease that transmitted. We have hepatitis B, C, and also we have AIDS, and so many syphilis, brucellosis, so many things could be transmitted via blood transfusion, and also via organ transplantation, hepatitis C and B transmitted a lot, particularly C currently, because there is a vaccine for it. And also AIDS, as you remember, you say in the previous lecture, iatrogenic disease. Now, what are the epidemiological features of the vehicle transmission disease? The epidemiological, from epidemiological point of view. First of all, we have, if the dose of the contaminated it is heavy, of course, there is explosive outbreak. In future, a lot of people will be affected if the dose is very high. Okay? The cases are initially limited to those who were exposed, only those who were exposed to that contaminated object, whatever this object. This is initial. But with the time, this, of course, this we call them primary cases. But with the time, the primary cases will be obscured, will be almost disappear. Okay? But the secondary case occurs among those people who are not only close to this objective or contaminated object. Okay? So it will travel to the distance, travel by the infectious agent, maybe a grade, okay? It is not always possible to isolate the infectious agent from the contaminated material. Or this example, John Snow, he didn't identify the infectious agent, but he can trace it.
and then he controls it. So that it can be controlled by stop this vehicle, okay, or withdraw this vehicle. And also the common source could be traceable. Common source could be traceable. This is very important in food poisoning. So all these are the epidemiological characteristics of the vehicle transmitted disease. Now coming to the vector. Vehicle is inanimate, vector is living. Okay, so what's vector? Vector can define as erythropod or any living carrier. Snail is not erythropod. So they are living that transport the infectious agent from the person to the susceptible individual. Transmission of the vector could be occur in two ways, either mechanically by itself, mechanically, no change, or it could be by biologically or by mechanically. Biological, we mean there is some activity occurs inside the vector. Some activity occurs to the pathogenic organism inside the vector. So that's why we call it biological activity. Okay. Regarding the biological activity, we have either propagative, an increase in number of the pathogen inside the vector, a lot of example, I am sure you know it, or there is only cyclo development. تدخل لارفا تطلع complete pathogenic organism. Or there is another thing, cyclopropagative. It means both. So this is what do we call it, biological activity. I am sure you know a lot of think about this. So mechanical, as I told you, just transfer the pathogen from one area to the other. Of course, I mean the vector, okay? The vector just transferred the pathogen from one area to the other, okay? So this is, we call it mechanically, without undergoing any development or multiplication inside the vector. This is mechanically. أكيد تعرفون كثير كثيرة الفلاي. Okay, just transfer the pathogen organism in its feet, okay, and then, or even not only and from outside, by the outside of this vector, inside, through its gastrointestinal tract, just take the pathogen and then excrete it as is, without any development or multiplication inside the body of the vector. Of course, in the other way, we have the biological mechanism or transmission. We said either undergo replication, increase in number, or it may develop, or it may, two of them will occur inside the body of the vector. Of course, when there is a development or there is an increase in number, or both of them, there should be a time or period of time needed to complete this mechanism, okay? So this period of time, we call it extrinsic incubation period inside the vector. So please keep it in your mind to differentiate it from the intrinsic incubation period. We will discuss it, okay, within a few minutes. So we have intrinsic and extrinsic incubation period. So we said, already mentioned, propagative, it means just an increase in number until it becomes good density, the number I mean of the pathogen inside the vector, become in good density to transfer it to the susceptible person. Cycloprovocative, it means both of them. Best example, a kid, I am sure, colicotrophoa in malaria. Okay, complete, it is sexual, okay? Complete its sexual cycle and also increase in number. So, okay, sexual stage and also an increase in number. Okay, cyclo development, just development. Best example is filariasis. Filariasis, تدخل واحدة, طبعا incomplete بعدها, تصير complete, develop, وتطلع واحدة فقط. Okay, I mean just it's not only واحدة, maybe two. But this is microfilaria in mosquito. We are talking all these inside the victim. Okay, not inside the human body. Now, there is another thing, I don't know whether you know it or not. There is a term, we call it a trans-ovarian transmission. Allahu Akbar. Still, we are talking about the perpetuation or continuity of the disease inside the community. So here, trans-ovarian, it means transmission of the microorganism from the mother, from the victor, still inside the victor, from the mother victor to its offspring. So there is so many generations with harboring this pathogen. Okay, so you can see there is a continuity of the disease inside the community. This is what we call it, transovarian, whether you know it or not. Okay, so transmission vertically, but it is inside the victim, not inside the human being. Transovarian. What are the factors influencing the ability of victor to transmit the disease? What are the factors? Okay, transmit disease in the community, definitely. First of all, host feeding preference. Some of the victor feed on humans, some of them on animals, some of them feed on the black people, some of them no, some of feed on the female, prefer female, not male, I don't know, okay? So this is preferable preference of the host feeding preference. Infectivity, please. Infectivity, here we are still talking about the victim. What's infectivity? It is ability to transmit the disease agent. So it's different from infectivity of microorganism. Please keep it in your mind. This is infectivity of who? Of the victor. Okay? So it is ability to transmit the disease. بالنسبة للفيكتور. Okay? في ملاريا فالسيبروم. Okay, مش كل الموسكيتو يحملها. تمام؟ فإذا infectivity to transmit the disease. Okay. Susceptibility. Again. It's not susceptibility of the microorganism. I am talking about the victim. Susceptibility, that's ability to become infected. Susceptibility to become infected. Of course, this term new. Survival rate of the victim in the environment. Of course, the longer the survival rate, the more the transmission of disease, I am sure. Of that, you know it very, very well. Domesticity of the victim. How close this victor to the people? Okay? This is domesticity. And also suitable environment. Of course, you know it very well. Very, very well, I know. You know it. Humidity and temperature, rain, raining and so on. So all these are environmental factors that affect the breeding of mosquitoes. Or any other book as we are talking about. So all these are factors influencing the ability of the vector to transmit disease. In another word, to keep the disease in the community. We finish with the vector. Coming to the other indirect, still we are indirect transmission of disease. We have airborne disease. Under the airborne, we have two. We have droplet nuclei, and we have the dust mode of transmission. Now, what's the droplet nuclei? I am always telling you, please keep in your mind to differentiate it between the droplet and the droplet nuclei. Okay? So, droplet nuclei, it is type of particle, okay, that are related to the airborne disease or airborne infection. They are very tiny particles. These particles are very tiny, very small. Its size is ranging between 1 and 10 micron. So small. How it comes so small? It is droplet, yes, but it is evaporated. There should be evaporation occurred to this particle, so it becomes smaller and lighter, heavier, become light. So these particles are small, yes, but it contain a lot of the pathogenic organism. Okay? Of course, this came from the cough and sneezing and so on. Okay? So, because it is small and light, khafifa, it stays in the air. That's why it's airborne. It stays in the air and it remains floating in the air. But also, for a long distance, because it's small. But if there is the air current is high, or presence of air current, okay, it will go to the large distance away from its origin. So it may become in the air, or because of the air current, it will go to so long distance. That's why it is airborne disease, droplet nuclei. So of course, this droplet size of 1 to 5 micron, it will go directly to the alveoli and cause the infection. A lot of example of this, we have mostly the respiratory disease. This is regarding, so now you can differentiate it between droplet and droplet nuclei. Coming to the other type of airborne, we said the dust. We said airborne is dust and droplet nuclei. Dust, that when the droplet comes, it is large compared to the nuclei, of course, and heavy. So it will fall on the floor. Okay, and then it contaminated the dust, or all the floor contaminated. You remember we said the distance between the infected and the susceptible person more than 60 centimeters. Okay, so the droplet will fall on the floor. Okay, if there is no susceptible person, or it may fall on the any other surface. Or it may fall on the food, uncovered food. So in this case, it will contaminate the dust. The dust will be contaminated. That's why it is mainly, most of the airborne dust infection or dust transmission occur in the respiratory tract infection occur via this mode of transmission. But also, just now we said, it may fall on the open food or uncovered food, or milk or any other. So also gastrointestinal infection could be occur. But mostly or majority is via respiratory. And moreover, the nosocomial, you remember what do mean nosocomial? Hospital acquired infection occur via this type of transmission. Nosocomial infection or now vomit, this is the fourth of indirect inanimate material or that will be contaminated by the infectious agent. Okay, so and this inanimate harboring capable of harboring and transferring the pathogen organism to the other. Vomit a lot of it. كل اللي بدكم يقولوه clothes, towel, linen, and all these cups, spoon, all these books, all these are vomit. So it is play an vomit transmission play an important role in the indirect transmission of disease. Okay. They are vomit when it becomes contaminated. And a clear hand and finger, definitely you know it. Mostly this is in gastrointestinal. The hand will be contaminated. The hand are the most common medium for pathogen agent transmitting to the food, either to the person direct. Look here, it could be either direct transmission or indirect. In direct transmission, my hand is contaminated, okay, from so many, okay? Then I put it on my eyes, so it's from me to me, okay? Or indirect, that my hand is contaminated, that and when I hold this one, or I touch this, or any other thing, all this will be contaminated. So the other person will be infected when he touch or she touch all these things. So that's why hand could be hand to mouth, okay, or indirectly to from person. I know you know it. So hand and finger, of course, it reflects the it related to the personal hygiene, and it reflects also the poor sanitation. I mean, for the people, for the person, okay, not for me. Now the. Coming to the mode of transmission, the pathogen found its mode of transmission. Now, it like to go to the susceptible person, but this to go inside, there should be portal of entry to the new host. Of course, you know portal of entry, a lot of portal entry, respiratory, gastrointestinal, genitourinary skin. In the skin, it could be affect either locally, just affect the skin layer, or piercing the skin, of course, it goes to the blood and causing systematic infection to all my body, a lot of disease like that. Okay? Cause systematic infection. Piercing the skin through inoculation by insect or during blood letting. Another mumkin mosquito. Another way of, for still we are talking about portal of entry, it means entrance of the pathogen from the mother to the baby, that is transplacental or vertical transmission of the disease. Of course, some of them having only one portal of entry, some of them more than portal of entry, some of them having only one portal of entry, while portal of exit, a lot of portal, the same pathogen, a lot of portal of exit. Okay. Now, the pathogen found the portal of entry, it goes inside the susceptible person. inside the susceptible person. So until when go inside the susceptible person, there is some multiplication of development of the pathogen inside the body, human body, I mean now. And there is a time. This time, of course, I am sure you know it, we call it incubation period. Incubation period. It is interval, definition for the incubation period. It is interval between time of contact and entry of the pathogen organism to my body until appearance of sign and symptom, until appearance or until illness. When I say illness, it means disease. When I say disease, it means sign and symptom appear. So please differentiate between infection and disease and infection and illness, all this. So we call it incubation period, but just some of them, they call it intrinsic incubation period, and we have another extrinsic incubation period. So we have to differentiate. Intrinsic, it is inside the human body. It is the interval between infection of susceptible person till appearance of sign and symptom of the disease, okay? Caused by that infectious agent. An extrinsic period, it is a time that occurs inside that when the development or an increase in number of the pathogen inside the victim. So this is very important. Victim get infected. So it is the time when the victim get infected till become infected. When cell infected till become liable to infect the other. So it will become infective. Okay. So this is the extrinsic incubation period. So of course there is a variation in the duration of the incubation period, depending on so many things. Still, we are talking in the host, I mean susceptible. Of course, the resistance of the host. The higher the resistance, the lower the incubation period or the duration, dosage, or the virulence of the agent, dosage. You remember, we give it in a kilo, and virulence, also the severity of this pathogen of this pathogenic organism to cause sign and symptom severe. Type of the agent with regard to the toxic production, you remember? And of course, route of entrance to the body. Of course, it is very important. Okay? For example, an incubation period for hepatitis C or B via sexual transmission will be longer than when it occurs via blood transfusion. So the mode of transmission or portal of entry is important. Now coming to the susceptible person or the host, of course the host, a person or animal or birds even, as long as we are talking with the human being, so always we say a human being, offer maintenance or survival or nourishment for the pathogenic mask. Okay. Maintenance to survive. Successful parasitism, so when it comes in my body, we call it parasitism. So how it occurs? What are four stages are being described in the successful parasitism? First of all, infectious agent must find portal of entry. Just now we said, of course, portal of entry, and also there is a variation in the incubation period. So it should find a portal of entry to the host. Okay.
Some organism may have more than one portal of entry, just now we mentioned. So in this case, duration also it will differ, and even sometimes sign and symptom will differ. On getting entry into the host, the organism must reach appropriate tissue cell activity. You remember we call it tropism. So it should find its way to the selected or specific tissue in which it finds for its multiplication and survival. Otherwise, it will not cause any disease. So, finding the appropriate tissue for it. Thirdly, the disease agent must find a way out of the body. لازم تلقي طريق تطلع بيه in order to contact the other. Still, we are talking about the community, about disease continuity of the disease in the community. إذا ظلت بجسمي وما تطلع لي somebody else, it will be dead end. Dead end. خلاص, no other person will be affected. So in this case, if there is no portal of present, it will be dead end of infection. For example, rabies. But لما يعطني الكلب وخلاص يسمي يا rabies. ما يطلع يروح غير dead end. This is best example. After leaving from my body, the organism must survive outside. Just now we mentioned it. Otherwise, no. In addition, successful disease agent should not cause death of the person. Should not cause disease of the infected person. It should cause only lowering the immunity, so this person will be infected more and more. So this is very important. Still, we are talking about continuity of infection. This is very important also. Only lowering grade of immunity so that he or she will be vulnerable. Vulnerable, it may liable for infection. So all these are important. Now, coming to the incubation period, although we already give a definition, it is a time interval between the invasion of the pathogenic organism to the human body and a kid, you know it, and appearance of sign and symptom definitely of that disease. Okay. During incubation period, the infectious agent undergoes multiplication to reach a density that causing the sign and symptom. Certain density in order the disease will be appeared. Otherwise, the disease will be not appeared. Sufficient density appear when they reach a sufficient density, then the sign and symptom of the disease will occur. The health, of course, when the density is high, equilibrium would disturb, I mean equilibrium between my immunity and the number of this pathogen density, so it will be disturbed. When it disturbed, then of course sign and symptom will be appear. Okay. So accordingly, so there is a variation in the duration of the incubation period, variation in the incubation period. It depends definitely on the generation time. What do you mean by generation time? It is the time that taken by the pathogen to multiply a lot. Of course, just now we see the more that multiply, the more the sign and symptom will appear. Okay, of course. Infective dose, definitely, the higher the infective dose or the higher the dose of infection, the more or the shorter the duration of an incubation period and vice versa. Portal of entry, definitely, just now we mentioned, when the portal of entry of organism via blood, the incubation period will be low. Okay? While for the other, okay, individual susceptibility, definitely, if my immunity is low, the duration will be very low also. I mean duration of incubation period. Okay. Incubation period, of course, we have median incubation, we have long incubation, we don't have short. 10 to 3, this is median, but there is some diseases that incubation period in month or year, even in years, hepatitis B and C, maybe. It depends, again, this duration just now mentioned depends on this factor. So this is the regarding the duration. Okay, coming, this, I think this is a new term for you. Okay, let's get down. A new term for you, serial time. What's serial time or serial interval? Okay, in some cases they don't know the incubation period. Okay. But I am a primary case. Okay, having, when I say case, I mean I have silence. Primary case with sign and symptom, but hello, or a hemistia, 2-3 days. A secondary case is occur, of course, with the sign and symptom. So the time between appearance of sign and symptom in the primary case and time of appearance of the sign and symptom in the secondary case, then they calculated and taken the average or the mean of it. In this case, they call it serial interval. In this case, they guess the incubation period of that disease. Okay? So, in actual practice, we seldom know precisely the incubation period, but we know when the outbreak occurs. Okay? Just now I mentioned too, in a family or in the school or close. So, there is an initial primary case, followed by 2 to 3 secondary, 3-4, doesn't matter, secondary cases after a short period of time. So already I shall tell you. So the gap between appearance, sign and symptom in the primary cases and sign and symptom in the secondary cases, the average, in this case we call it serial interval, and in this is we call it a serial interval. So in this case, we are guessing the incubation period, okay, of that disease. Okay, another term, this is, you know it very well, I am sure of that. Communicability period, okay, of course, it is the period of transmission of the pathogenic organism, okay, from the pathogenic or infectious agent transferred from the infected person, okay, to the susceptible person, whether direct or indirect. It's not necessarily direct, whether direct or indirectly from one to the other. Communicability varies, of course, in different diseases, and you know what it is. Some diseases are more communicable during incubation period. I told you several times. Hepatitis A, communicability period during the last 7 days of incubation period. It is heavily communicable. Once sign and symptom appear, the communicability will decrease or decline sharply. Will decline sharp right away. Okay? So vary in different. Some disease more communicable during incubation period, okay, than during acute illness, just now basically.
communicability of some disease can be reduced by early diagnosis and treatment. Of course, if early diagnosis, so I have my treatment early, so in this case, the transmission of disease will be less to the other. So the communicability will be reduced by early diagnosis and treatment. Still, we are always talking about the community. هذا اللي يقودنا إلى الـ herd immunity اللي we are going to discuss. So, of course, you know, communicability of the disease or of the pathogen, it measured by secondary attack rate. And you know how can we calculate it? It is number of secondary cases. Okay, خمسة منكم لا سامح الله طبعا صارين. Okay, divided على all susceptible persons. They multiply by 100. Okay, this is the secondary, not second. There is a difference. أعيد وأقول there is a difference between second attack frequency and secondary attack rate. You should differentiate it between the two. Okay? Okay. This is a host defense, you know. نمشي عليها سريع. Okay. Of course, the defense against infection are at once even local or systematic, or could be specific, non-specific, could be humoral, cellular, and so on. So, resistance, it is a total body mechanism which act as a barrier. Could my body act as a barrier for the entrance of the pathogen or for the replication of this pathogen or survival? But there is a defense in my body that stop its replication or living in it. So it is multiplication, invasive or multiplication of this pathogen inside the body. It could be either natural barrier or acquired barrier. Okay. A natural, you know it, it's non-specific. It is come from anatomical or physiological interaction من السكين إلى البقية الباقية. Okay. Natural defense mechanism in the body, a lot of it, we say we have body surface, skin, or any other gastric secretion act as a barrier for so many pathogenic organisms. Acquired resistance, we have either passive or active acquired. For each one of these of them, we have also natural and artificial. أنت تعرفوها هذه حتى أطلقكم لوجه الله تعالى ترتاحون شوية. You know it's okay. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. But please افتحي الضوء.